grades and avoided boys and parties like the plague. When I got to college, I chilled out a little. I had hormones just like any other girl. Sure, I was curious. Touching and getting myself off took care of that a little bit, but I wasn't immune to romantic dreams. My sophomore year, I got my first serious boyfriend. I met Brian in my Principles of Financial Accounting class. He seemed like a sweet, funny guy. Until we were alone, and all he wanted to do was reach under my oversized shirt to grab my boobs, which, in his words, he couldn't stop thinking about titty fucking. Yeah, me and Brian didn't last long. I tried one more time with a guy named Jeremy, who was part of the group of friends me and my roommate hung out with. I told him up front I wanted to take things slowly. He said that was totally fine with him. We dated for several months, which was when I walked in on him screwing my roommate. Shocker that I was put off sex. I didn't want to be labeled a cock tease either, so I just didn't go there. I tried dating a couple more times, but ended up breaking things off fairly quickly. Mostly, I just automatically friend-zoned guys. I kept my hair short and continued wearing clothes that covered up my curves. My girlfriends told me all the time that I was nuts, and that all these guys I thought were just friends were actually hoping for something more with me. But then I graduated college and was still a virgin, and it just started to be totally weird. How do you tell someone on the third or fourth date, "So look, I want to mess around with you, but I'm kinda sorta a virgin and still terrified about sex. Cool?" Yeah, I never found a way to bring that up in polite conversations, and would just stop returning a dude's calls after the second or third date. To my friends, I pretended I was waiting for some mythical perfect guy to lose it to, just to get them off my back about it. And then everything got intense with me working 60 to 70 hours a week, and the last thing on my mind was a guy. Now, here I am, and my virginity is possibly the only thing that's put me in the running for the position of sex slave slash baby mama to a complete stranger so giant that I doubt I'll be able to breathe if he lays on top of me. And they say good things come to those who wait. Bullshit. My whole life has been about waiting, playing it safe. Be the good girl. Don't color outside the lines. Put in the hard work trying to prove myself to Dad, then to my college professors, then to my boss at New World Media. Just waiting for the day for it to all pay off. And right when it was all starting to, I finally had the house, the job. I was even thinking about getting a cat. Boom. My life explodes, and suddenly now I'm all done. The doctor interrupts my thoughts, pulling off her gloves with a loud snap. What? No, she can't be done. My eyes leap to her, but she won't meet my gaze. Instead, she speaks toward the door. The rest of the information you requested will be in my report. I'll email it to you within the hour, she says, quickly packing up her tools in baggies and then replacing them in her black medical bag. Wait, that's it? I ask, sitting up. Don't you need to ask me more questions? Give me some vitamins or something? Draw some blood? We already have the results of your most recent blood test, the doctor says, still avoiding my gaze. I might as well be a plastic mannequin to her. And I've already recommended vitamins. It'll all be in my report. And with that, she's walking out of the room. She gives the huge man standing in the hallway as wide a berth as she can. Then she's gone, leaving me alone with nothing but a thin little slip of a hospital gown between me and him. I stare at his feet. He's wearing boots, like cowboy boots. They're huge black ones. They say the size of a man's feet can indicate... Oh, God. Now is so not the time for useless trivia, Mel. I raise my knees to my chest, making sure to pull my hospital gown down all the way over my feet so that I'm covered up in a little mini tent. I avert my eyes to the white bed cover. Silence. No, that's not true. There's the loud tick, tick, tick of the grandfather clock on the wall, and the anxious terror gnawing at my stomach with every second that ticks away. Is this the part where he leaps forward and then savages me? Do I fight him, or just let it happen? If what he's saying about Dad is true, if he's really going to be safe and free, then maybe it will all turn out okay. Just a year of my life. But the sex is so big. Oh, God, he's going to rip me in two. My breathing becomes erratic, and I clutch my arms around my legs. If he just wants a baby, why can't we do this in a doctor's office, all nice and civilized? He can go make his deposit in a cup somewhere. Then a doctor can spurt me full with whatever the medical equivalent of a turkey baster is. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I'm knocked up the way God intended, in a clinic with no actual body parts touching. No, no, no. There's absolutely no way I can do this, right? What the hell was I thinking earlier when I signed that fucking contract? I wasn't thinking. I was reacting. Dad was so freaked out, and then there were those pictures of me and people wanting to kill Dad, and... Tick, tick, tick. Why isn't he saying anything? Or making a move? Oh, God, I'm going to scream. The terror builds and builds until finally I dare to look back to the doorway. It's empty. He's gone. What in the... He just... left? Now what? First off, I scurry to the bathroom and change back into my own clothes. My black Gucci pantsuit, gray blouse, and matching blazer feel shockingly comforting, if not exactly comfortable. But it's the only shield I've got. Right, Mel. A whole 1 millimeter thick fabric shield that Mr. Beast Dude could rip apart with one good yank if he wanted to. So, it would be cowardly to just lock the door and hide in here as long as possible, right? Screw cowardly. I run forward and flip the flimsy lock on the bathroom door. Then I stand there in the brightly lit bathroom for about 5 minutes until I realize that a stupid bathroom lock isn't going to be much more of a hindrance than my Gucci suit to a guy as big as that. So I rush out into the larger room and lock that door. Then I run to the huge mahogany dresser and try to shove it over in front of the door.
It won't budge.
God damn it. I lower my center of gravity by crouching low and try again. Still nothing. That doesn't make any sense. Sure, I might not be winning any girls' heavyweight titles in the near future, but it didn't even budge. Which is when I lean over and see it's freaking bolted to the ground. Holy crap! Did he anticipate me trying to move furniture to try to block him out of my room? Are his plans for me that horrible? What the hell am I doing? I can't... This is too... What was I thinking? I jerk the bedroom door open and fly toward the stairs. I take them two at a time, stumbling and only managing to keep upright because of my death grip on the stair railing. I jump the last 3 steps, and then I'm over to the door,
one hand on the knob.
I jerk it open, only to be greeted by the vast, empty landscape I saw earlier.
Leave, and our deal is done.
Out of nowhere, his voice is suddenly booming so close it's all but in my ears. I whirl, but don't see him. I turn frantically left, then right. Finally, I locate him at the top of the stairwell. The sound must have carried off all the wood, since there isn't a lot of other furniture in here.
I'll not only bring your father back into the country.
He leans over the balustrade, his body just a silhouette in all the gathered shadows.
But I'll drop him right on the doorstep of the men who are looking for him. The blood won't be on my hands. He made his own bed.
His voice is cold. Damn him. I slam the door, wrapping my arms around myself and backing against the wall of the large foyer.
Good choice. There's a whole lot of nothing for 30 miles in any direction. You wouldn't have gotten 2 miles before I dragged you back here.
I expect him to come storming down the stairs, but the next time I look up, he's gone. I lie awake the whole night in bed, waiting, on edge. Sure, each moment I'll hear the click of a key unlocking the door as he comes to claim his prize. Because, duh, obviously he probably has keys to all these rooms. But he never comes. He doesn't come the next night, either. Or the next. I've given up on hiding in my room and wander the giant house freely now. He's gone all day. Each morning, out my window, I see him leave out back, looking like a cowboy, big hat and all. I didn't go exploring until the second day of no activity. He stays out all day doing whatever he does. Ranching? All I've seen are cows. He disappears around the side of the house, and I have no idea how big the property might be. Even though he was gone all day yesterday, I'm still tentative as I head downstairs. Maybe I can find a computer or a phone? Not that I know exactly who I'd email or call or what I'd say if I could. In a way, I'm an accessory to helping Dad jump bail. It would certainly be very easy to frame it that way. And the people who are after Dad, would they still try to harm me if I suddenly popped up again? How long does Dad have to be gone before they accept he's gone? God, even thinking about Dad makes my chest hurt. Where is he? Is he okay? He's got to be freaking out worrying about me. And then I start panicking all over again, because what if he hurts himself? But no, he swore. And he has to know that at this point it wouldn't do any good. I've already been taken. The deal is done. Please, Dad, just be okay. Turns out it doesn't matter who I'd email if I could, because my captor is either allergic to all technology or he has locked it up tight. There are landline phone outlets, but no phones. No TVs, either. No freaking TVs. The first floor of the lodge is pretty stripped down. There's a well-stocked kitchen, which I raid freely. In the main lodge area, there are just a few tables and a big leather couch left in what was obviously once meant to be a big, bustling common area for a lot of guests. Both the first and second floor have fireplaces in the central guest areas, which are sparsely decorated with random furniture. While the lodge is in good shape, some rooms on the third story are completely empty of furniture altogether. I've only peeked up there. There's one locked door that I suspect is the giant's room. I didn't pay it much attention, frankly. Once I find the library on the second story, I keep blissfully busy. Books. Reading. You know, that thing we all used to do before YouTube videos and Pinterest ate up all our time. I was, frankly, going a bit nuts trying to play Nancy Drew and discover clues about my captor while waiting for him to decide he's done toying with me. Shudder. No, thank you. Escaping into other people's drama is far more preferable to living my own. There's another big couch in the library by a big window. I throw back the curtains to let in the light, and then cozy up to lose myself in Jack Reacher's latest adventure for the afternoon. That's where he finds me several hours later, when he finally comes for me. After all that waiting, ears perked for any noise at the door, eyes strained for any movement of shadow for hours on end. When he actually comes, I'm so engrossed in the book I don't notice him until he's standing over me. I let out a small screech of shock and drop the book, my hand flying to my chest. I look up at him in surprise and immediately wish I hadn't. With the curtains drawn, the room is bathed in midday light. I can see every monstrous, melted inch of the top left half of his face. Meanwhile, his squinting eye seems to see straight down into me, measuring my disgust for him. My whole body tenses as I sit up straight on the couch. His hair is sweat-slicked, and he's pulled off the work shirt I always see him go out in each morning. He's just in a tank top and jeans, exposing acres of muscled, bronzed skin. He's as big as a fucking ox. Oh, hello. I sit up on the couch, backing as far away from him as I can. I was just...
It's time,
is all he says. He holds out a smartphone. I blink, and it takes a second to make out what I'm seeing on the screen. But then my eyes focus. There's Dad, standing on the beach, blue ocean behind him. He's frowning and has dark circles under his eyes, but otherwise he looks fine. He's holding up a paper. The giant zooms in on the picture, and I see today's date on the paper. The writing is some kind of South Asian script. My hand jumps to cover my mouth, a sob catching in my throat. I try to grab for the phone, wanting to zoom out again and look at Dad, but he pulls it away and puts it back in his pocket. Still, it was enough. Dad looks good. No bruises or black eyes. He looks healthy. Safe. There's no time to process, though, because the next thing I know, the giant has leaned down, picked me up like I weigh nothing, and swung me over his shoulder in a fireman's carry. Then he starts jogging with me up the stairs to his bedroom.
Chapter 5. What? Wait, if we could just talk for a second. He doesn't stop or even slow at my continued protests. No, he just continues up the stairs, my body jolting with each step. Holy crap, what if he drops me on my head? Without thinking about it, my hands drop to his lower back to steady myself. The iron-hard muscles there do nothing to assuage my escalating terror. Damn, this guy is built like a Mack truck. He's thick around the waist like a boxer, and from what I can tell, it's all pure muscle. He's inhumanly big, like a normal human being, except he comes in an extra-large size. His back is broader, neck is thicker, thighs are more massive. He takes the stairs two at a time, like he's not carrying a 130-pound lead weight over his shoulder. He pulls out a set of keys from his pocket, unlocks his door, and then we're inside. I have an upside-down view since I'm still over his shoulder, and at first I'm afraid to look around. What if there are, I don't know, huge pentagrams painted on the walls or sacrificial altars set up? But when I finally peek, it looks, well, normal. Except, you know, for the huge giant who's holding me essentially captive, and the fact that there's barely any light up here. Just a small lamp above a mantel that casts the whole room in shadow. There's a large desk pushed up against one wall. It has two large monitors on it with a laptop hooked up between them. Both screens are dark now. Well, that answers that question. He's not anti-technology. He just planned well in advance and doesn't want me having access to the outside world. Awesome. That's not super creepy at all. And the other major feature of the room is a bed. A huge, king-size bed. God, the thing looks bigger than king-size. Do they make them bigger than king-size? So, what's your name? I ask, my face still inches away from his jean-clad ass. I'm Melanie. I mean, obviously you know that, but, you know, we never really did the whole introductions thing. The next thing I know, I'm flying ass over ankles as he tosses me on the bed. He looms over me like the monster in some movie. Oh, God, oh, God. Just keep talking. Humanize yourself to your captor. Isn't that what they say? Besides, I always chatter when I'm nervous. You have a really beautiful library. I try for a smile that I'm sure comes off as more of a pained grimace. I thought at first it was just a lot of old books, like for decoration, but then I found the contemporary section. You really like mysteries, huh? Lee Child books? He's great. One of my favorites. He reaches back and pulls his t-shirt off over his head. Holy bulging muscles, Batman. I gulp and without really thinking about it, scramble backward on the bed. He's just so exponentially large. He reaches down and grabs my ankle, yanking me back to him in one swift tug.
Xavier, he says, my name.
And then he reaches into the drawer beside his bedside and pulls out a knife. Giant Psycho's going to kill me. I'm about to die. I screech and try to roll away from him, but his huge hand clamps easily around my ankle yet again.
Hold still, he growls.
And then I hear the sound of fabric being cut. I look down, wide-eyed, to see he's slicing my expensive Gucci pants off me, starting at the ankle. Once he gets to the knee of each leg, he starts to rip, his muscles flexing. He has to use the knife again to cut through the top, where the belt loops are. I lay panting in terror. You could just ask me to take them off, I whisper as he pulls the ruined fabric from around my body. I want to drop my hands to cover myself, but God, it won't do any good, will it? This is happening, and there's no stopping it.
I didn't like them, is all he says.
My favorite gray silk blouse is the next to go. He doesn't have to use the knife. He just rips it open, and the buttons all come off in a consecutive set of explosive pops. Then he flips me over in the bed, so I'm face down. Ridiculously, I wonder, does he just expect me to go around the mansion naked all the time now? Because that will be uncomfortable. Gotta love my knack for worrying about the really important things. Next, he's slicing through the straps of my bra, which, yes, is very worn and has definitely seen better days. But still, it was one of my last barriers to him, and now it's gone. I'm still face down on the bed as the contraption holding my mid-sized breasts comes free. And then, shit, shit, shit! He cuts off my underwear. I lie here, not sure if I'm glad I can't see what he's doing now, or if I'm more terrified because I want to watch his every move. Before I can decide, though, one of his huge hands drops to my back. My eyes squeeze shut. I expect him to be rough, to grab me like he did my ankle earlier, to take what I'm here for him to take. I don't expect the tentative touch. I don't expect the soft exhale as his other hand comes to my skin and he caresses down my back from my shoulder blades to the top swell of my ass. He stops just short of touching it, though, and massages back up again. I feel the bed dip as he gets on, springs squeaking. I imagine his huge body taking up the whole bed, larger than life. Just thinking of that, his body crouched above me, is enough to have me tensing and ready to scramble off the bed and running for the door. His hands pause on my back. He felt the sudden tension in my body. Damn it. This was the deal, Mel. There was never going to be any getting around this part. You know that. But God, I only made the deal a few days ago, and between then and now, I've done everything possible to avoid thinking about this moment. Still, it's here now. I squeeze my eyes shut tighter and try to force myself to relax. Everything I read online over the years said it would go easier if I relaxed.
Yeah, right. You try relaxing with 230 pounds of muscled beast over you while you're buck naked.
His hands rub down my back again, and this time, when he gets to my ass, he doesn't pause. Before I can even take a full breath, both his hands are full of my ass cheeks. He squeezes them in his massive hands, first one handful, then the other.
I might not be anything to write home about in the bosom department, but I'm not lacking when it comes to junk in my trunk. Just my luck, because apparently he's an ass man.
He leans down, and his cheek traces the same path his hands just took, down my spine until his stubble brushes my ass. He's been unexpectedly gentle the past few minutes, so I don't expect the bite. It's not hard. Just a nip of his teeth on the round of my ass, but it's enough to have me yelping and looking over my shoulder at the top of his dark head. Like he can feel me looking, he growls and glances up at me. The left side of his face catches me off guard, just like it has each time I've looked at him full on, and then he's moving, far quicker than it seems like a man his size should be able to do. He whips open his nightstand. My breath catches until I see he's only holding an eye mask.
Oh, really, that's not necessary. I'm sorry. I won't look at you if you don't want me to. You just took me by surprise there with the...
My voice breaks off, because what am I going to say? With the ass biting? With your scary monster face? He doesn't wait for me to finish anyway. He's already slipped the eye mask around my head and is adjusting the strap.
Alrighty then. I guess he's not big on talking things out.
Then I'm being flipped again, now to my back. Everything's happening so suddenly, I'm not prepared when his weight comes down on me and his mouth suctions on my right breast.
Wait, he's just going to jump in like this? I mean, what?
I blink underneath the blindfold, my eyelashes fluttering madly against the silk fabric of the mask.
That feels...
A high-pitched, breathy little gasp escapes my throat. And then I'm mortified.
What the hell was that? He's going to think that I...
He abandons the first breast and moves to the second. What he's doing with his mouth... I try to get a full breath, but my lungs aren't working right. His hand lifts and starts to massage the breast he was just suckling while he keeps at the other. He plucks and tugs at the nipple, and holy crap, it feels like it's connected to a live wire straight to my... My whole body jolts, and without really thinking about it, both my hands fly to his head. I don't know if I'm trying to encourage him or yank him away. What the hell am I thinking? Yank him away. Definitely yank him away. But I barely register the feel of his thick, wavy hair before he grabs both of my wrists in one of his hands and pins them above my head. I struggle in his hold. The sensations he's pulling out of me are so foreign. It's all so much, so fast. My whole body just feels restless. I need to be moving, to be doing something. Or maybe not. God, what am I even thinking? I should just be lying here, taking whatever this bastard has to do to me, right? That was always my plan for my first time, even before this insane scenario. Close my eyes,
pretend really hard I was somewhere else, stare at some spot on the wall, and let him just rut and get it done with. That's how some friends in high school and college had described it. At least, that's how you got through the pain of the first time. A couple of girlfriends loved sex, but even they admitted their first times were awful. Definitely something to just be survived. But now, here is this man, no mere guy, making me feel such crazy, intense, oh my God, things. This is all wrong. Not at all how it's supposed to go. Most especially because I'm being forced to be here. This is not some romantic fling with a man I finally decided is the one that I trust to try this with. This is some monstrous stranger taking something he has no right to, except for the fact that he basically bought it by helping my dad, and the hand not holding my wrists traces down between my breasts and grips my hip. And damn it, I can't even be bothered to disguise the fact that I'm all out panting now. My legs twist underneath him. When did he sling one of his jean-clad legs over mine? His leg is huge and heavy, and it acts as a clamp. To try to keep me from getting away? Or to keep me from grinding against him like a tramp in heat? Oh, God, the thought washes me in shame, and I try to still all my restless shuffling as his fingers grip and knead the flesh at my hip. What am I doing? Why is my body reacting this way? My breath hitches as his hand reaches around my ass and he pulls me up into him. He's hard. I can feel him through his jeans. The thought should terrify me, and I am. Terrified, that is. But I'm also damp between my legs. Oh, who the hell am I kidding? I'm drenched. I'm so goddamned wet my juices are probably going to make a wet spot on the front of his jeans. My face heats in utter humiliation. But then his hand that was just gripping my ass caresses back around to the front of my body, dipping down between us. My first thought is that I want to howl in embarrassment because he'll feel exactly how wet he's made me. And then I want to just howl because, holy hell, his fingers immediately seek out my engorged little bud and he starts to press and circle with perfect pressure and... It feels both so wrong and so right. My stomach clenches as he continues to rub and rub. All I can do is feel, sensations cascading over one another, the rasp of his slight beard against my breast, his tongue and teeth torturing my nipples so exquisitely, and those talented fingers taking me higher and higher. Without meaning to, my pelvis arches up into his hand, the rising ache of needing release. It's so much higher than those rare occasions where I've nervously touched myself in the dark before. I've never felt anything like this. His large, blunt fingers are nothing like my thin ones. I always tease myself with a gentle press of my middle finger, but he uses his thumb, rolling and pinching, alternately gentle and rough. I would have thought I'd hate this lack of control. This giant stranger taking what he wants like this. It's so wrong. But that very thought seems to amp my pleasure even higher.
Need to taste, he mutters, and then he shifts himself off of me. The next second, his fingers and hands and mouth are gone. I stop the whine of protest right before it crosses my lips. Still, I can't help the brief moment when my whole body arches in the direction he seemed to go. And then I'm flooded by both shame and relief. Maybe he'll stop now. Maybe that's all I'll have to endure for tonight. I flop back against the bed, squeezing my eyes shut underneath the mask. But there's no time to try to get my head on straight before I realize that the noise I'm hearing is that goddamned nightstand drawer being opened and shut again. Oh no, what now? He takes my wrists, and then I feel something looped around them. Rope? A belt?
Holy shit! He's tying me down! Oh God, no! No, 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 no! He's tying me down.
Somehow, it's finally hitting me in a way it hasn't before. I'm out here all alone with an obviously crazy person. A very large, very muscled crazy person who wants to tie me down and do God knows what to me.
You know, we really haven't gotten to know each other yet. Don't you think that might be nice? They always say communication is key.
I laugh shrilly.
Take you, for instance. Xavier is such an interesting name. Did your mother or father think it up? Is it a family name? Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Especially any sisters, I think, but don't say. Some nice little sister I might remind him of. Then I remember I'm naked, and where his mouth and hands just were. Okay, so scratch the sister image. But still, okay, how else can I humanize myself?
I was an only child, but that's just because my mom got her tubes tied after me. She didn't really like kids. She was one of seven children, and it kind of burnt her out on the whole thing. But I always wanted a little sister or brother.
The constraint. I'm almost sure it's a belt for how sharp the edges feel cutting into the skin of my wrists. Jerks tight as he pulls it taut, and then ostensibly ties off the other end, probably to the thick wooden rungs lining the headboard. Terror makes me lightheaded. I give an experimental yank, but nothing gives, even the littlest bit. I remember how sturdy the wooden bed frame looked, and my breathing gets shallow. Where was I? Oh, right, trying to humanize myself so I don't die in some virgin sacrifice my third day here. I know, theoretically, he brought me here to pop out a kid for him, but what if that was just so I'd get in the damn van, and really he's a psycho killer, and... Rough hands shove my thighs open.
Oh, God, this is it. Brace for impact. Here it comes.
De-virginization in 3, 2. I about jump out of my skin at the feel of his warm breath and the touch of his silky soft tongue tracing up my inner left thigh. Receiving pleasure when I expected pain is a shock to my system. I don't know what to... I can't even...
So I...
The last word breaks off in a gasp as he grazes his stubbled cheek along the inside of one thigh, pausing at the apex. Is he? Oh, God, is he smelling me? And then his lips join the scrape of his jaw, a soft torture of lips and tongue that creates such an agonizing contrast I'm not sure if I'm in heaven or hell. When he tongues up the center of my slit, I shudder and gasp with pleasure so sharp I feel like I might pass out. Just moments ago, I was clear-headed and sure I was about to be murdered, and now, oh, God, with the simplest of touches, he has me limp as a mewling kitten underneath his searching tongue. Again, I'm horrified by my body's lusty reaction to him. How can I be turned on right now? How can this be happening to... Oh, God, my whole body spasms as his tongue reaches the promised land, and he sucks on my clit. Yes, right there. Then he pulls back so that just the very tip of his tongue teases my clit up and down, then side to side.
Holy... Oh, shit. Oh, my God. I didn't even know it could feel like...
He pushes my legs open even further, and it's only with the most feeble resistance that I try to keep them clenched. I shouldn't. This is so, so wrong. But when he elbows my knees further apart again, they fall slack. He takes advantage and presses my legs open wide with his arms, moving between my legs as he continues eating at me like a man starved. A groan of pleasure wrenches from my chest. I shake my head, biting my lip against the rising tide of desire and need. No, I don't want this. Even as the other half of my brain screams,
"Just yes, more, please, more!"
I yank at my arm restraints in futility and frustration and need.
God, I've never felt so needy for it in my whole life.
He sucks my whole clit into his mouth again, and a high-pitched whine escapes my throat. But then, after sucking and eating at me like I'm everything he needs to survive in the world, he pulls back with lazy kisses.
No, wait, I...
Rational thought dissolves. I'm so close, riding that blissful edge, so much higher and brighter than ever before.
Oh, God, I need it. It's right there. I try to lift my hips up to his mouth because, God, he can't give me that and then just take it away again.
My nipples are hard as rocks, but I can't move because he's holding my hips to keep me in place. Then his mouth dips to tongue inside my pussy, a long, deep thrust of his tongue that makes my limbs quake. My eyes pop open, and I cry out in shock and pleasure at the intrusion. His thumb takes up where his mouth left off at my clit. Oh, God! If I thought he was eating at me hungrily before, it's nothing to how crazy he goes when he gets at my little virgin pussy. He thrusts his tongue in and sucks and kisses at the swollen, sensitive lips of my sex. And then a finger from his other hand joins his tongue, slipping inside my sopping hole. I cry out, not in pain, but because, yes, oh God, yes! I didn't even realize how empty I was there until I finally got something solid to clench at. And clench I do. My whole body contracts around the digit he presses further and further inside me. He hisses, pulling away from me just long enough to mutter, fuck, before sucking me even more earnestly. His mouth goes back to my clit as his finger continues to explore inside me. First to a knuckle, then deeper, until I feel the base of his hand at my pelvis. I let out a breath as he moves his finger inside me, first pressing against one wall and then another, exploring or stretching. I don't know. It feels strange and wonderful and... A second finger teases at my entrance and I bite my bottom lip to keep from crying out. I can't stop my quick, huffing breaths, though.
Is this when it will start to hurt? Will he just jam it in?
But no. He works the second finger in as slowly as he did the first, probing and stretching as he goes. And then he does this thing with his teeth, nibbling at my clit while he presses upwards with his fingers and holy... A high-pitched wail escapes my throat.
It's so good. So high. Fuck. Oh, God, yes. More. More. Oh.
My back arches off the bed as I come. I'm blindfolded, but the light is so bright behind my eyelids as I hit the peak. He keeps suckling me through it. I'm still panting, barely coming down, when I feel him shift. He's moving.
That was so good, so freaking insane. But then, all of a sudden...
Cock.
He's sticking his cock in me. Holy shit!
My brain blinks on again. There's no warning, no nothing. He tricked me by giving me the best orgasm of my life, and now his huge body is covering mine, and he's...
I can't see. I have no idea what's happening. Oh, God. I yank against my wrist constraints and try to pull my legs together.
But the head of him has already pushed through the lips of my sex. So much bigger than his fingers.
Christ,
he mutters, his voice low. I should say something, like,
how about we do this tomorrow, or never? Oh, God, it's going to hurt. I'm going to bleed. He's a freaking giant. He's going to tear me in two. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
He tries to push in more and doesn't budge. He's at the barrier, and I clench even tighter as my terror amps to an all-new high.
Relax, he says. It sounds like an order.
I wind even tighter.
Christ, even your teeth are clenched.
At his words, I realize he's right. My jaw aches with how tight my teeth are gritted. Awesome, so he'll realize what a bad idea this is, pull back, and we can forget about this whole thing. Maybe he'll come to see that I'm the wrong girl for this whole ridiculous plan and go find someone else, much more accommodating, and...
His lips draw back to my breast.
I'm so surprised at the move and the spark of reignited pleasure that for a second my body relaxes.
He takes advantage and thrusts in.
The pain makes me yelp and my legs come up reflexively, where I encounter his body. Still, my legs strain against him, clutching him to me since I have nothing to grab except the leather strap of the belt holding my arms over my head, and I need everything possible to ground me in this moment. I can't help but be terrified of the expected pain. But it was little more than a sharp pinch, not the sustained pain girls have always talked about, and it's already fading. The fact that Xavier hasn't let up his attentions to my breasts is certainly helping distract me, too. And then there's him between my legs. Inside me.
Holy shit, he's inside me, having sex with me.
Even though at the moment he's just still, like he's allowing me to become accustomed to him.
I hold my breath. He's over me. He's everywhere. I can't see him because of the mask, but that almost makes it worse, or, I don't know, at least more intense.
With every breath, I inhale his foreign male scent. His chest hair brushes against my breasts, our bellies are mashed together, and then there's his...
I swallow.
He's lodged so deeply inside, like he's piercing straight through my body. It's too much to take in at once.
And then he starts to move.
Not thrusting himself in and out exactly, just swiveling so that he's rubbing against that part of me that's so sensitive from his earlier attentions.
My legs clench reflexively around his hips as all the sensations from earlier roar back to life.
What the fuck? Not again. Surely not again. Not while he's...
His large hand clutches my ass suddenly, kneading the flesh before tracing down and hiking my leg even higher around his hip. And my fucking traitorous body moves with him, my foot notching behind his back and unwittingly positioning myself so that his cock settles even deeper when he pushes back in.
It's just, the more he swivels, the more that liquid sensation in my stomach starts to go molten again.
He gently rocks more and more until his cock slips in and out of me in small micro-thrusts. At first, there's discomfort, but even that is countered by the rising tide of pleasure he's managing to wring from my body again. Eventually, he starts pushing for more, thrusting his cock deeper inside me, and to my everlasting shame and confusion, my legs have come up and wrapped around his hips. His huge chest brushes against my chest, and his scent is everywhere. Leather and soap and man. His warm body over mine, skin to skin, and his hard cock pressing inside me where no one has ever been before.
So good,
he mumbles.
So tight, so good.
He slips one arm underneath my back and grips my shoulder from behind, bracing himself on his elbow. His other hand grabs my ass so he can drag me on and off his cock as his thrusts become more frantic. The position has us so close our chests are cemented together. He buries his face in the hollow of my neck as he pumps more and more furiously. The pain is gone and all that's left is the rising tide of pleasure in this man fucking me like his life depends on it. And his cock. He's hitting so deep in places I never imagined. And the way it feels, it's... I can't... it... All the while, he grinds his pelvis up and against my clitoris. Then his cock hits that spot deep inside, and he's clutching me so tight, closer, and with more desperation than anyone's held me in my whole life. I can't help but buck against him with every thrust as our bodies play out the most primitive act between man and woman. He starts to suck and bite at my neck like he can't help but devour whatever part of me he has access to, and God, oh God, it's coming again, higher and deeper than before, harder and more soul-shaking than anything I've ever felt in my life. If I thought I screamed earlier, it's nothing to the screech that pours from the top of my lungs now, my legs spasm as they clench around his body. Oh, 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 oh! He pumps into me, more ferocious than ever. Once, twice, and then a third time he thrusts deeper than I would have thought possible. He stills and clutches me to him. For a second, the world stops spinning and time stops ticking, and everything is completely still, except the pleasure exploding like 1,000 fireworks lighting up our bodies. The pulses of the orgasm just keep going and going and going. He thrusts in and out lazily several more times, and then pauses another long moment, head still buried in my neck. As rational thought returns, I wonder if he can even breathe there. And then all the other thoughts come back.
Holy shit! I just had sex! This stranger who's barely said 3 words to me just took my virginity. And I liked it. I participated even. Shame and confusion choke me as I squeeze my eyes shut. What happens now?
Is this the part where he pulls out a cigarette and casually smokes? Isn't that what they do in movies? At least in old movies. Now, movies are just excited about the sex part. They all fade to black somewhere in the middle of it. Then it skips to the next morning or something. You rarely, if ever, get to see what happens right after. Like when the guy is still half hard inside you and you're blindfolded and tied up and have no idea what the hell you're doing. But then he quickly pulls out and withdraws completely from my body. It's so startling after having him so close. After having him inside and surrounding me on the outside, that I'm immediately cold. Chill bumps rise all over my body. I want to ask, what now? I want to ask, foolishly, was I any good?
I want to start chattering a million miles an hour to fill the horribly empty silence that's taken over the room in place of our moans and pleasured gasps from minutes ago. I draw my legs together, feeling horribly exposed, laid out like I am, my arms still tied over my head, body on display. Is he looking at me, or, like, busy checking his phone to see if he got any pressing emails while he was screwing me? What does he even do for a job that he's able to afford this fancy house and all the land that must go with it? And what kind of connections does he...
Don't shower or bathe. I want you still smelling like me when I come for you in the morning.
With that, he releases my hands. By the time I've scrambled to a sitting position and pulled off my blindfold, he's gone.
Chapter 6. He had to be kidding about the shower, right? I wander back to my room in a daze and spend the rest of the evening like that. I'm a woman used to being in charge. I see what I want and I take it. But this afternoon with him, God, that was like nothing I could have ever... I mean, sex was something I was afraid of for so long, and then for it to turn out like that, it wasn't bad at all. It was sort of... wonderful. My mind rejects the thought even as I think it. No, I do not want to be here. This is all against my will. Isn't it? Because it didn't seem like it when I was howling with pleasure earlier. What if I am my mother's daughter after all? Slut. Whore. I heard the words people in the country club whispered about my mom behind my dad's back. Because of her heritage, she was never warmly accepted in Dad's wealthy circles. They were married in the 90s, after all, and women from Mexico were supposed to be serving the food or cleaning the place, not on the arm of one of the wealthiest members. It wasn't fair, and Dad tried to shield her from the worst of it. But then, of course, Mom went and made sure to live up to all of their worst expectations. Still, what does it say about me that I could enjoy sex with a stranger who all but kidnapped me? How could I respond like that? I wrap my arms around myself and drop my head. And that's when I smell him. His scent is all over me. It's as if he marked me as his, like an animal might. I don't even know exactly how to describe the scent. I close my eyes and try to pick out distinctive elements. Some sort of manly scented body wash and... is that hay? Leather, too, maybe. And the earthy smell of sweat and sex.
I want you still smelling like me when I come for you in the morning.
I shiver. Screw that. I can't stand smelling like him for another second. I speed walk to the bathroom and flip the shower to the hottest I can stand it. Then I step in and scrub hard at my entire body as soon as I get under the spray of water. When I go to wash my hair, my hand stutters after grabbing the bottle. It's the same brand of shampoo that I use at home. What the... I take a step back out of the shower spray and look at the rest of the items in the bathtub. It's my brand of body wash and conditioner, too. All in full, brand-new bottles. How could he... did he have people break into my apartment and figure that out? Or watch me shop? Just how long has he been watching me? I look around the shower and up at the ceiling. Are there cameras on me right now? I raise my arms and cover my breasts. Because that matters when the man had his mouth all over them just an hour ago, Mel. The thought makes me cringe in shame and embarrassment. I can't believe I just gave in like that. I mean, yeah, I knew that sex would be expected of me in coming here. I'm not naive. The second I signed the contract, I knew I was basically prostituting myself for my dad's freedom. But somehow it seemed like a noble sacrifice or some BS back when it was just an idea and not a reality. And none of my ideas of how this would all go down ever involved enjoying myself or getting off. I grab my body wash and spurt a generous handful in my palm. Then I get to work scrubbing at every inch of me he touched. I rub especially vigorously between my legs, ignoring the sensitivity and soreness of the area. The shower has a detachable head, and when I turn it on my lady bits, it immediately feels good against the aching flesh. I wash up and down, making sure I'm extra clean. And then the stream of water strays back to my sex. Did I bleed? I didn't notice any blood, but then I wasn't hanging around to examine the sheets. It barely even hurt. I remember his skilled fingers, how he played me so expertly. My own fingers stray there. My eyes snap open, and I jerk my hand away from myself. I replace the shower head back in its place high on the wall to finish the rest of my shower as quickly as possible. Then I get out of the shower, towel off, and get into bed. Skipping dinner is a no-brainer. I'm ready for this day to be over. Sleep is still a long time in coming, but eventually, blessed unconsciousness takes me.
How hard is it to obey simple instructions?
His voice is a roar that jerks me from sleep. I sit up in bed, my heart pounding as I look around me frantically. The room is completely dark. Still nighttime. Where am I? What?
You washed me off you.
While slightly quieter, I can hear anger barely restrained in his voice. Xavier, I'm at his lodge in the middle of nowhere, effectively captive.
I'm sorry, I stutter. I didn't think you...
You didn't think, he thunders. You didn't think you needed to obey orders?